Welcome to Muffliato, a Harry Potter podcast where we fill your ears to prevent you from hearing nearby conversations. I'm Josh, and today it is just me flying solo, quite literally, as we take a journey through another book in the Hogwarts library, this time looking at Quidditch through the ages. So as we've looked at one of these books already, we'll just give a brief overview. Previous bonus episode that we looked at as part of the Hogwarts library was The Tale of Beedle the Bard. Now, this is one of the original Hogwarts library books. It was published under the pen name of Kenilworthy Quisp, along with Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Those first two books were published in between the fourth and fifth books, in between the Goblet of Fire and Order of the Phoenix. And as they were published, they were published for the UK charity known as Comic Relief. So what is this book all about? Well, like you would expect, it is a book that appears within the Harry Potter universe. It is a book that is at Hogwarts. And it's a book that is one of the reasons why people are not allowed to take books out of the library. And so it's an often desired book by the Hogwarts students themselves. The book itself is a small book. It was originally much smaller than what it has grown to be, but the most recent editions have it pushing just over 100 pages, almost double what it used to be back in 2007. The book goes through the evolution of the game, beginning with some of the predecessors that led to Quidditch, some broomstick-style games. And it even asks the question, why broomsticks? And goes through the fact that not everywhere in the world has a broomstick for a long-distance travel or even short-distance air travel. One of the things it mentions is that the flying carpets that are so popular in the East don't really show up in the West, and instead we see broomsticks. It's also noted in the book that this is one of the perhaps worst kept secrets of the Wizarding World, particularly when it comes to the Statue of Secrecy, because whenever people draw a picture of a wizard or witch, they always have it with a broomstick. And so it's a very poorly kept secret. The game takes its name from a place. It's a bit of a shortening or changing of the name. It was originally played in its very earliest form near Quidditch Marsh, originally played in the 11th century. And a witch who was living nearby saw the game really develop before her eyes. She saw people playing a game, throwing a ball to each other on broomsticks. And then throughout the week, as she's watching this go by, she begins to see stones bewitched to knock people off of brooms, which are the precursors, of course, to bludgers. But the only thing that's missing is the golden snitch. So what I'm going to do now is I have seven facts about Quidditch that we don't learn from the books. These are seven facts from Quidditch that we don't learn from the seven main books themselves, but instead we learn for the first time in this book. And then I'll talk a little bit at the end just about one particular edition that I recommend reading if you have the time and space to do so. So first, the Golden Snitch used to be a bird. Believe it or not, the Golden Snitch was originally introduced through a bird. The game had existed for close to 100 years before the Golden Snitch came about, and it was a bird that was called a Snidget. Now, a Snidget hunting was a popular thing at the time, and someone introduced to the game the idea of a Snidget hunt within a match itself. And the person who introduced that said they're going to have 150 galleons. And this is 1269. So an absurd sum. The money within the Harry Potter world still doesn't really make sense when we consider these things and how much it is later on. It's just hard to know. Doesn't really seem to make sense. This seems like an absurd amount of money. 150 galleon prize for whoever could catch and kill the bird. Now, as a result of this introduction of the Snidget, Snidgets end up going or nearly going extinct and end up being protected by the Wizard Council. So Finally, some conservation goes on here, and as a result, someone decides that they are going to make an artificial snitch. And from that point forward, from the 14th century, the game of Quidditch remains largely unchanged. This is a pretty straightforward movement from that middle period, 1400s, until the modern day. So it used to be a bird. The 150 points come from the galleon original prize. And that's just one explanation for perhaps why the number in our heads doesn't quite make sense as to why it's worth so, so much. The second fact that you would not know about the book or from the books, and it's even a little bit of a discrepancy between Quidditch Through the Ages and the books, is that in the rules of Quidditch, as recorded in Quidditch Through the Ages, there are to be no substitutions at all during the game. Now, one of the things we learned from the books is that sometimes games last so long that they need to swap players in and out to eat and sleep. And maybe there are some provisions made if a game goes over a certain distance, but in the official rules, one of the short sections recording the basic laws of the game says that no substitution of players will take place in the case of injury. The team will go on to play without the injured player. So maybe if there are the need to do that for other reasons other than injury, that's the case, but there are no substitutions whatsoever. This is taking the desire to play well hurt to a whole another level. Third, though it might seem like a national or international Quidditch hotbed, North America is not a particularly strong place for Quidditch, especially in the United States. So the American Quidditch team is not a team that does particularly well at the Quidditch World Cup. It's almost as if this is the image that J.K. Rowling is using about the growth and lack thereof of soccer or football in the United States. And as you might expect, the American witches and wizards have a different game that they play that is similar and yet different from Quidditch. It's called Quadpot, and it's a variant of Quidditch, but involves, instead of throwing a ball through hoops, it involves throwing a bewitched and ready to explode ball into a pot at the end of the field. So it kind of sounds somewhat like American football, somewhat like basketball, but different from Quidditch. And this popularity of the unique sport there makes it so that there is not a highly accomplished American national team. The fourth thing that you learn about Quidditch is that the sport has really only taken off in places that use brooms for travel. Now, this is a bit of an interesting thing. When we think about Quidditch, it's a sport that was birthed out of a travel device. So in that sense, it's somewhat more like a cycling sport or a automotive sport than a pure ball or bat sport. And so Quidditch is a sport that took off in UK, in other places in Europe, but it has not taken off well in Asia, the book says, because in Asia, the primary tool for flying, particularly journeys of some distance, is on a flying carpet. So the fifth thing that you would not know about Quidditch, if you have only read the books, is that Quidditch, instead of being played with rings, used to be played with baskets. The baskets were kind of tilted on their sides so that you would throw your quaffle into the basket. It looked like a fruit basket, and that would be the way you would score a goal. It's interesting to read. Like a lot of things with sport, when it comes time to change things, there is a group of people who are very, very hesitant and slow to change. And J.K. Rowling records through the pen of Kenilworthy Wisp the issues that people had changing it to rings instead of baskets. Number six, the positions in Quidditch are probably more restrictive than we might think. In the books themselves, the series, the roles of the different positions seem to be quite suggestive and informed by what actually happens in the matches. We don't get a clear explanation of what different positions are and are not allowed to do. For example, only chasers are allowed to score the quaffle. We get told that chasers are concerned with the quaffle. We get told that beaters have the bludgers and that the seeker has the snitch. But no other player is actually allowed to score a goal. So if you had someone like Ginny Weasley, who plays a bit of seeker and a bit of chaser, she couldn't just score a couple of quick goals while she was a seeker. She would have to be a chaser in order to score those goals. Related to that, only a seeker is able to catch the snitch. If another player catches the snitch on purpose or by accident, they actually lose the match at that point. Finally, number seven for our seven Quidditch positions, our seven Quidditch players, Victor Crumb. Victor Crumb, he of the fame of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, the book we are going through right now. Victor Crumb was the famed Quidditch player at the 1994 Quidditch World Cup. He eventually came back after a time in retirement to play in the 2024 World Cup in Argentina and won the trophy for Bulgaria. So that is the resolution to an otherwise great career, but which was not able to achieve the greatest trophy that Quidditch had to offer. And so Victor Crumb finally won his trophy in 2024. Now, those are just seven things you can learn about Quidditch if you didn't know them already. And then I just want to recommend a particular edition, which was done on Audible. And this edition, done on Audible, has over an hour and a half of extra material that gives you a bit of a full picture of what Quidditch is like, and even has some old favorite characters come back for a last hurrah, as it were. So in Quidditch Through the Ages on Audible, one of the things that it has is it has a special history of the Quidditch World Cup, as well as match commentary on the 2024 Quidditch World Cup. Now, this match commentary is provided by the field reporter and former Holyhead Harpy, Ginny Weasley, as well as some commentary by Rita Skeeter. The interaction between Rita and Ginny is quite hilarious. And it's almost as if while you're reading that or listening to it, I should say, that this part of the book is almost like a dramatized story. It's more than even the audiobooks, because you have different characters reading their own parts. And so this was written by J.K. Rowling, and it is now added into this new edition. And so the narrator and some of the sound effects throughout the original part of the book is well done, and I'd recommend it. But this last bit, especially if you have an Audible credit kicking around that you don't mind using on this, it is short. And so if you're like me, you like to buy Audible books that are quite long to use your credit as much as possible. But if you are someone who is interested in the topic of Quidditch, go and check out that particular audio edition. We don't get any kickback for that, but just a good recommendation for you. So hopefully, if you are someone who loves Quidditch and you look forward to Quidditch scenes, that this was able to scratch that itch for you as we go through one of two books to have no Quidditch in it whatsoever. The other obviously being the seventh book, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. And so during this book, because of the Triwizard Tournament, there is no Quidditch other than the World Cup at the beginning. There is no season of Quidditch. And so if you are someone who's really missing that, you're missing the injuries, you're missing the commentary, you're missing all the glorious schoolhouse spirit, hopefully this is something which has made it just that little bit easier until we get to Ron's debut in Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. Thanks for listening to today's episode. To support the podcast and keep the magic alive, you can leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. You can also support us financially at www.buymeacoffee.com/muffliottopod. And to send us questions on our Instagram, email, or website, muffliottopodcast.com. To continue the adventure, join us next time as we continue to discuss Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, and we'll come next to the 25th chapter, The Egg and the Eye.